sisters and brothers, the sermon text for today comes to us in the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 17th chapter, starting at verse 11 and ending at verse 19. May you hear the word that God has for you this day. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, he went along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village when he was met by 10 men suffering from a dreaded skin disease. They stood at a distance and shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us!" Jesus saw them and said to them, "Go and let the priest examine you." On the way, they were made clean. When one of them saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself to the ground at Jesus' feet and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus spoke up. "There were 10 men who were healed. Where are the other 9? Why is this foreigner the only one who came back to give thanks to God?" And Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And that would hurt. So many want so badly to be more than what they do. Have you ever prayed along these lines? Oh, Jesus, if you'll just help me, if you'll just give me, if you'll just get me out of this, I promise I'll... Jesus did help you. He kept up his end of the bargain, if that's how we're going to look at it. And you, for your part, did you keep your promise? Maybe. If so, good, I guess, though I think it skews the relationship we have in Jesus Christ to try to bargain this way. Faith isn't a bargaining chip. If you're anything like me, you probably didn't keep your promise. You got out safely. You made it. God gave you what you asked for, more or less. And you went about your merry way, feeling happy, relieved, but not especially obliged as days and weeks passed by after. 10 outcasts, 10 messes of humanity cry out to Jesus as he passes by. Maybe a once-in-a-lifetime chance for them. Jesus, Master, have pity on us! Oh, yes. That sounds familiar. Master, they say. Remember that. The rules allowed them to cry out to Jesus, but the rules did not allow them to come nearer, since they were ruined messes of humanity, contagious lepers. Still at a distance, Jesus sees them and speaks to them. So many people are at a distance from Jesus. Too many wretched messes of humanity so far from Jesus. Oh, they may look all right on the outside, no different from you and me. They have a car, a home, a job, a family, and hobbies, and they're lost inside, pursuing things that won't get them life, won't bring them God, won't bring them to God. They're pursuing things that will put even more distance between themselves and God. And Jesus sees them and speaks to them. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. Jesus doesn't tell these ruined people that they're well, or that their faith has saved them or healed them, or that their faith is great. The things he says to others who have come to him, called out to him for healing. He says, go and let the priests examine you. The examination was to determine whether the contagion remained or whether they had been healed. If they were found to be healed, the priests performed a cleansing ritual. And then several days later, the cleansed person would make a sacrifice, all according to the law that God gave Moses. Outward healing, outward signs. We have our rituals too. Luke records that on the way, the lepers were made clean. Now this word clean is a technical word, a ritual word. We come across it especially in Leviticus, which deals largely with matters of ritual. One who was ritually clean was allowed to enter the sanctuary to worship and make sacrifice, to be in the presence of the Lord, to have holy fellowship with God. Those who were unclean were to be kept out, away. The holiness of God, you see, was too pure to permit any impurity into his presence. It would be like tracking mud onto your host's white carpet, even though you thought you'd wipe the soles of your shoes thoroughly before you came in. You're on the welcome mat. Jesus has done what the lepers asked. He had pity on them. He made them clean so that they could once again be in the presence of the Lord. He cleansed them of whatever nasty disease was afflicting them. Leprosy covers all kinds of things. They looked normal again. They could rejoin society and be like everyone else again. Oh, happy day. But when did Jesus ever call anyone to rejoin society? Jesus is always saying, come, follow me, join me. He's very honest and very clear about what that means. Here on earth, trouble. In the kingdom of God, eternal blessedness, joy beyond imagination, reveling and rejoicing in the presence of God, beholding Him face to face in wonder that never wanes. No one's going to be bored there. Jesus gave the ten what they asked for, what they wanted. They wanted to rejoin the world. He made that possible for them. He also made it possible for them to be something more. Nine were restored to the world. One, seeing he was healed, came back. He was not restored to the world. He was restored to God. That's a 10% success rate. This is Jesus we're talking about. Jesus compels no one to have faith, forces no one to believe in God. Jesus comes, sees, speaks, and heals. Yes, he heals. You know it. And even those who have no use for Jesus may begrudgingly acknowledge that Jesus does heal. Then Jesus awaits what will happen. Will faith be restored, reanimated, resurrected? Will the Holy Spirit come to work the Spirit's sacred work? When Jesus tells the crowd that many are called but few are chosen, what do you think he means? Only one comes back. A 10% success rate, if that's how we're going to look at it. The one comes back while the others continue their way. I'm sure the nine were glad for what Jesus had done for them, but they didn't see how it placed them under any special obligation to it. They asked, he gave, and now on with life, back to life. The one who returns comes praising God in a loud voice. How can he keep from singing? He's making his praises known to others. He's not keeping it to himself. Look what Jesus has done for me. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. When's the last time that any of us have told someone what Jesus has done for us? And what has Jesus done for us? What has he done for us lately? We love Jesus. We treasure Jesus. And we're so adept at keeping him to ourselves. Locking him away in our hearts. Treasuring him up in our hearts. And never letting him out. This healed man helps us to see another way. Another way of following Jesus, a way of rejoicing and singing and letting others know, of not being able not to let others know, because what Jesus has done is so wonderful, so joyful, so powerful, so good, so undeserved. The man throws himself at the feet of Jesus. He doesn't do this so that others can see. But others do see. We do not follow Jesus and love Jesus so that others can see. Then our faith would be a show that we put on. And that's not the way to life. But others do see. The man thanks Jesus for what Jesus has done for him. But his praises and self-abasement in the dust before Jesus are about more than gratitude. This man is acknowledging who Jesus is. The man came back not because his mama raised him right. He's got manners. His mama raised him right. The man came back because he wanted Jesus. The nine wanted what Jesus could do and did do for them. The one, this one, wanted that and more. He wanted Jesus. Jesus asked about the others. Where are they? Nowhere to be found. They got what they wanted and they're gone. You heard what Jesus said to the one who returned, but you might not remember it. Get up and go. Your faith has made you well. All ten were made clean, but it's only of this one that Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Those other nine want to celebrate. They've been restored. Dr. Oz of television fame shared a story about what got him into promoting healthy living. His perspective was changed completely when he saw a man on whom he had performed a very complicated and very costly heart operation eating a big, juicy, greasy cheeseburger, who makes me salivate to say. The man didn't get it. Dr. Oz had applied all his training, his education, skill, and experience to saving this man's life. The man was enjoying his new lease on life by doing the very things that brought him to Dr. Oz in the first place. No change. How could the lesson fail to have been learned? The nine have been cleaned up, cleaned off, but they've not been changed. Their encounter with Jesus, has not changed them. Well, that's common enough, isn't it? Too common. So common. It makes me want to weep. Look, I'm not telling you to stop eating cheeseburgers. Cut back, yes. What I'm sharing with you is that we have reason to rejoice in Jesus. He didn't just cleanse us. He changed us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We perceive who He is, and we want to be with Him in His company, singing praises and offering thanks, and not just among ourselves, here within these walls on Sunday morning for 1 hour. My prayer, beloved, is that God will so build up the pressure, the intensity, the abundance of our joy in Him, that like that man made well by faith, we too start sharing our stories with others. Others who aren't here, others who may come here and stay. Because they know not only that Jesus is doing something here, but also that Jesus is here. And the Jesus Christ who loves us and freed us from our sins by His blood, and may us be a kingdom priest of His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion.